Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. My name is Don. I'm in Studio A, and Studio B is Mr. Randall A. Edwards. Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How are you?
Real good, Don. We're not really getting outstanding reception. Just wanted to indicate that to you again. You sound garbled, but, you know, maybe you can clean it up. But our young lady from Manchester, England, appreciate her opening the program with us. I understand we got a lot. Probably want to get to it. These three individuals shot in the, drive-by shooting up there in North Minneapolis. What's your take? Any information on it?
We haven't gotten an update yet, Mr. Edwards, but what I am seeing is, you know, this is not the first time that 1600 block of North Hillside in Tangletown in North Minneapolis has been in the news. I mean, that's been in the news on and off for the past 25 years in that particular area. And I know one person's at HCMC in critical condition, and the other two are non-life threatening. And a 57-year-old man was shot in the face and knee, while a 28-year-old man was shot in the shoulder, and a 27-year-old woman was injured, shot to the hip. So there's a lot of craziness going on still in North Minneapolis, governed by the baby mayor, and not a lot being addressed. But we certainly, Mr. Edwards, as you already know, complete silence from the leadership in that area.
And, particularly after the big story that we had to break last week with the meeting a couple hours after we went off the air with our program last Saturday morning, a big meeting at the Urban League of Minneapolis. All of the top white heads of the different federal law enforcement agencies, starting with the FBI, Homeland Security, ATF, DEA, that's the Drug Enforcement Agency, and et cetera. And it was a follow-up to a similar kind of meeting in St. Paul, where a similar meeting took place and plans put together. By the way, roundups have actually started. They started as early as late Saturday night, primarily in St. Paul. By Sunday of last week, they were in full acceleration, if you will, in Minneapolis. They had a situation in St. Paul. I will not name the family, but, homeboys was, watching the football game on a Sunday, drinking them parties and doing their thing, and wow, a whole SWAT team of federal agents showed up, took individuals into custody. By the way, for those that loved ones have kind of disappeared, they're probably at the federal holding facility in Elk River, Minnesota. That's just north of us, halfway between Twin Cities and St. Cloud, if you will, good old Elk River. Good federal facility up there. They take a lot of African Americans and quote unquote hold them there, interrogate them. In fact, it's actually an interrogation center. So we just wanted to be, as current as possible. You know what I mean? No one would like to think that we've forgotten anything, if you will. And then we have the also any kind of update on the credit union. Have they, recovered that money? What is it, $1.3 million? Has that money been recovered? And is the facility open?
You're talking about the credit union, the actual brick and mortar building.
People's credit union, community credit union. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the People's Credit Union, like the People's Stadium. Mr. Edwards, I have not heard anything, but we have over 25 inquiries on our page asking about, when we're going to update. And the problem with that is that this is so embarrassing for so many people that I think, this is my personal opinion, that they're keeping it low key, because you have approximately $1.3 million floating out there in purgatory, and no one wants to talk about it. And again, it's an embarrassment for the black community and for the people that put the black folks up to say that this is going to be a beautiful thing, you'll have your own bank. And in fact, it never would was run by black Americans here in Minnesota. It was just another front, as they say. So, yeah, this
well,
is kindly disappeared.
Let me just correct this piece. The African-American
okay.
community, many, many years ago, 84 years ago, had a credit union solely owned and controlled by African-Americans. In fact, it was located right at 435 East 38th Street, which is right there, actually by where the now Minneapolis Spokesman Recorder, Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. So I knew a year ago when I heard the woman who was the executive director indicate that this was the first African-American credit union that, you know, she didn't have her history correct. But, hey, not our problem per se. And by the way, we were expecting maybe we would hear something from the board chair. I guess the board chair now is a person by the name of Wales, Malcolm Wales. The current head of the Phillips Family Foundation was apparently for a hot second chair of the board of the People's Community Foundation, whatever, but does not seem to be around. William English, remember Bill English? He is doing the research. You know, they were doing the research toward failure. I mean, that's a fascinating dichotomy that the system, the man already figured out that there would be failure. And so UROC, which is located right there in North Minneapolis, actually they'll run from the University of Minnesota. You remember that's kind of a project of Dr. Cecchetti. You remember Dr. Cecchetti? Did a lot of research,
oh, yeah.
Does a lot of research on young Negroes and et cetera. So anyways, you got that going. We're not hearing anything. The mayor had said he was going to give an update. That was 3 weeks ago. Jacob Fry, who last Saturday was one of the participants in the meeting at the Urban League of Minneapolis, which we have to say for transparency, that Steve Melton, president of the Urban League of Minneapolis, was not happy with the meeting being held at his facility. They really have a lot of federal authorities and state county attorney. Our good friend Mike Flynn was there. He brought a couple of African Americans with him from the local area, if you will. The young lady, in fact, word is she's about to become the head of the new office of Steve Patton of St. Paul. She's been working for years in the Minneapolis Health Department. But anyways, we have kind of an update on that. And so the roundups have begun. There are sealed indictments, as I reported on one of my other programs. Again, sealed indictments have been handed down over the last a couple of months. The federal authorities, have been working on identifying individuals who are participating and have been participating in the gun violence. And so I guess we'll get more updated, and I assume that our people will, you know, have interest once the white media, right? The white media says this is going on. Right now, Don and Ron are just probably being toxic. So
yeah,
we
exactly.
got that going. So phone lines, by the way, are open, 347-426-3904. Again, 347-426-3904. Don, what's your take on the impeachment? Are we going to impeach the big Don? Donald Trump.
It's not going to happen, and it's not going to happen, Mr. Edwards, and this is just a major circus. But I think that one people on both sides of the aisle should look at is that It's not about the people. We the people of the United States. The Democrats and the Republicans are so focused on this that, you know, the common person is just falling through the cracks. We don't have any real engagement going on other than the boilerplate daily stuff. And and the media is putting it out front because the media has decided that, okay, we're going to go after Trump too because we don't want him elected in 2020. And actually, they're playing right into his hand. They're keeping his name front and center. And yeah, and I'll be shocked because the Democrats are going to take a hit. If this goes south like it's getting ready to, or sideways, as I should say, the media
like the Mueller,
and
the
Democrats.
Like the investigation. This time last year we were talking about that they were going to put this time last year, November of 2018, that they were going to put Donald Trump under the federal penitentiary for everything. Now, give me your take, Don, is from the right. We started out with the Russians, or if you will, and then that didn't materialize, though the media, the left-wing media, said that it did, but it really didn't materialize, and then some of the documentation kind of was embarrassing, if you will, to the general American public. But we were all, this time last year, waiting on Mueller, if you will, and he came in, you know, talked very softly, declined to ask and respond to some tough questions. Have you been able to take a look at the recordings that you made over the 2 days of hearings, if you will? Have you had a chance to analyze that and assess it?
Absolutely, Mr. Edwards. I started off by reading the transcript of the phone call, the phone conversation.
But now which one? Because there's numerous phone calls. You're talking about the president with the president of the Ukraine, right?
Ukraine, yes. And as you know, that's been released to the general public. You can Google it. It will pop up immediately. And I read it three different times from three different perspectives, or lenses, as we say. And I'm looking at it, and then I went on the computer and started to do a little research. My first concern after reading this document, this transcript of the telephone call between President Trump and the president of Ukraine, was that, okay, there are concerns. And I'm being objective. I'm not on Trump's side. I'm not on the Democrat side. I'm just in the middle reporting the news here. And so I guess I would have valid concerns if my opponent's son was in a country where their people were stricken by poverty, hunger, lack of housing, and he's knocking off $50,000 a month, if not more.
You're talking about Hunter Biden.
So Hunter Biden is making
vice president.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if he's knocking off 50 grand plus a month in a country like that, I personally and objectively and as reporting the news don't see any issue in the president asking what's going on. Now, there was no quid pro quo in any of that where Trump was withholding money. If you don't do this, you're not going to get this. The document transcript clearly reads, it's opposite of what the media is reporting. So my
media, you have to give absolute clarity. You're talking about the left-wing media because they've been beating up on right-wing
media
so long. So
the
you're talking
media
in terms of big media, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, et cetera, are giving. Is that the reason that the left, even out of breath when you watch them now on particular cable show, CNN, particularly CNN has become just absolutely hostile to the truth. I mean, my God, it's just unbelievable. Wolf Blitzer, who's been with CNN such a long time, is just almost out of breath. And then he has this crew. They have a sprinkling of African-Americans bringing in. It's getting to be the same two African-American women, if you will, that are now brought in. They normally have seven, eight, sometimes nine individuals sitting at the round table. But let me just move it ahead quickly because, I mean, we still got plenty of time. But I wanted to get your take on this from Red Eye, because I've listened to every minute of the live broadcast. That's part of what I required my staff to do. And I listened, of course, live. I didn't have to wait for no tape or et cetera. I listened to it live, had a chance to see the expression. Let me ask you this. I mean, you follow, quote unquote, mysteries and plots and plans on a separate secretary. I mean, Ambassador Taylor was supposed to be the key witness. He came up with something on Wednesday that was just shocking. I just started kind of laughing. I called a couple of associates around the country to kind of get their take. What is your take on, you know, for a long time they couldn't put Donald Trump's handprint, fingerprint, you know, footprint, whatever, in play. And then Taylor, near the end of his testimony, he and another individual, undersecretary name of Keith, Taylor says out of the blue that one of his staff people had just informed him, and when he says just informed him, he was talking about this week, that this staff person had a Mr. Holmes. You've got it there in front of you on your computer. Mr. Holmes had overheard while sitting in a cafe after a meeting with Ukrainian officials by the ambassador to the European Union, if you will, a political appointee, that they had heard Donald Trump on the phone. And that Donald Trump was saying the only thing that he was concerned with was getting the Biden, you know, and that's fascinating. Now, I imagine they were in a very classy place there in Kiev. That's the capital of the Ukraine. But even in a situation like that, I don't know how many other people were sitting at the table beside the young man, Mr. Holmes, if you will, who now becomes a central figure. By the way, he's already given closed door testimony. No sooner than yesterday they left that 5.5-hour meeting with the former ambassador, Ms. Yonovich. They went down in the basement, went into a secure room, and deposed. Mr. Holmes, who is a staff member of Ambassador Taylor, and he's going to testify. I guess he's going to testify that he could hear the president clearly enunciate, and the president talked in terms he wasn't concerned about the American people. I mean, that's just the short end of it, and that he heard the president say was the investigation of the Biden's in place. How do you handle that, Don? Why would it take 2.5 months for a staff person that works for you to tell you at the last moment that he overheard this conversation?
You know, it seems like kind of a hoax, Mr. Edwards, because when you look at it, you know, hearsay is not admissible in the court of law, yet it says Taylor revealed that he was told that Trump was more concerned about investigations of Biden than the Ukraine. Yeah. And all of this stuff is not based on any solid foundation. I would have trouble with a staffie coming to me after the fact and saying, I overheard this. Two and a half months after the fact saying this. But you know what? Here goes the problem, Mr. Edwards. You know, the Ron and Don show is a show we are focused to the Black American audience. And yes. And a lot more fans than that listen, that tune in every Saturday morning. But the thing is, the media is convinced that the general public is stupid. They are convinced they can put anything in front of the American public and they'll believe it. So this hostility toward the president of the United States, I don't care if you like him, dislike him, whatever, he's still the president of the United States. But the media, you know, they know that a large population of people of color don't read, and they can put a dog whistle a dog with a headline in there that Trump impeachment. And 90% of the people that don't read will have the conversation at the water cooler or at the corner store saying, yeah, they about to impeach him.
Or in the bar. Not or in the bar while consuming alcohol. Go ahead, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, in a bar too. And not understanding that this is an inquiry and the evidence is so flaky that this is just another sideshow of crap that it doesn't, it's like, again, it's not based on any foundation. So, I mean, I have a huge challenge with listening and watching the news right now, especially NPR. If you listen to NPR, Minnesota Public Radio in the morning,
you think that you come to get
Trump the next day and lock him up. And that's not the case. You're just wondering what happened to news, what happened to news broadcasts that were supposed to be objective and lay all the facts out at the table, on the table, and let the American public make a decision. You know, the decision piece has been taken off the table with the mainstream, especially the left, and sometimes Fox on the right. And with that said, we're being really misled and not – The facts aren't there. I mean, I don't care. I mean, Trump is tweets too much. I would agree with that 100%. And sometimes it's not appropriate. I would agree with that 100%. But still, these reporters are misleading the general public from NPR to CNN. Sometimes, like I said, Fox News. I'm not giving any of them a pass. But it's so hard to watch the news. And, you know,
what news? Because 2 days ago, we had another mass shooting at a big high school in the outskirts of Los Angeles in one of those quote-unquote ritzy neighborhoods, Rancho something, if you will. You had two young people die, if you will. You have four others that are in critical condition. The gunman died last night, if you will. The 16-year-old, shot people and then killed himself on his 16th birthday, if you will. The school and the community there in a state of panic, if you will. And yet we just got a tidbit of journalistic examination and theory, and then they moved right on back to what is obsessing them. It looks like to me we should be worried as a country, if you will. I know parents are worried out here, and I know that you are aware, as an example, in one of our high schools in St. Paul, Humboldt, a young man was stopped from carrying out a similar terroristic act at a school called Humboldt. Is that correct, Don? Humboldt High School in St. Paul?
That is correct.
And, and we touched on it last week. No one called. Nobody said anything. Of course, what happened is they didn't read. You know, and so they really didn't know the facts and the factors, if you will. But we almost had a similar situation here in the city of St. Paul, if you will. But in the situation in California 2 days ago, lives were lost, people were injured, community is in a state of depression, if you will. People are just absolutely depressed. It's interesting to watch them. We're not talking about people who live in the inner city, the ghetto, and et cetera. We're talking about good, hard-working Americans, probably in the upper middle-class income, you know, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year, supervisors, things like that, if you will. By the way, again, phone number for the Don and Ron program this morning, from coming to you from the Twin Cities. We're discussing a multiplicity of issues and et cetera. Phone number 347-426-3904. Again, 347-426-3904. We're really, we could summarize this by saying we're looking at the state of affairs in America. I kind of cut you out, Mr. Allen. What are your additional observations? By the way, let me just kind of challenge you from the left. I just don't even think that they're ever going to get through quote-unquote, an impeachment trial, so that people are not confused. It's a trial, but it doesn't necessarily have the same rules and regulations and requirements as a regular court sitting. In fact, that came up in a very, very heated exchange both on Wednesday and yesterday. But the Republicans control the United States Senate, and they're going to do just what they want to do. The Democrats are desperate in their search for, quote-unquote, actions against the president, the current president of the United States, Donald James Trump, if you will. And they're just obsessed. I mean, people are actually salivating at the mouth, Don. I mean, you know, slobbering, if you will. They're having expectations about that the man is going to be, quote-unquote, the man being Donald Trump. Is going to be impeached and removed from office. Man, if you want to talk about something that will tear a nation apart, is that to particularly in an election year where the person is constitutionally running for a second term, and you're going to maneuver. And by the way, we haven't talked about this. I talked about this on my worldwide program this past Tuesday from here in the Twin Cities. You know, what they're maneuvering is to get Nancy Pelosi in position to be president of the United States for the remainder of 2020 so that they can take control. They, the Democrats on the left, can take control and kind of do what they need to do or they feel they need to do as we go through the election of 2020. Again, I repeat, my theory, which I've shared on a number of my programs, is that what this is really all about is to also, and think about this. Isn't it interesting the timing that everything is now being talked about where we now have Vice President Pence in play, as they like to say. He is now in play as a person that could be looked at for impeachment. Now, am I off base, Don? You've got, just as I do, you have your computer information there. Do you see all the new hits that are emerging about the fact that Pence collaborated and et cetera. Nancy Pelosi, the majority leader in the House of Representatives, has already accused the president and now Vice President Pence of crimes, high crimes, and misdemeanors. Am I correct, Mr. Allen?
You are correct. I mean, they're trying to pick away at it. You know, Nancy Pelosi, he's supposed to turn over some documents, and if he doesn't comply, you know, he's on the timeline to comply, and it's you know, they're trying to make that whole cabinet a target. And it's really interesting because if you vote for these people, you clearly understand that they don't give a hoot about the common person. I mean, if we take it back, Mr. Edwards, to black community, in the last couple of years there's been over 70,000 black women missing, but they don't talk about that in the news. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, in the United States that needs the appropriate news coverage to spread, you know, the information. And the information we're getting, turn on the news channels or pick up the paper. Trump, 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 impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. And you can't even find out what's going on in your backyard unless someone uses a gun. Now, don't let a black man do the dome.
My colleague, Mr. Allen, is. For the last year, a very quiet federal grand jury has been meeting about the surrounding circumstances of an African-American by the name of George Washington, George Edward Washington, who was beaten to death in the Kandi, Ojai County Jail. We talked about that back in January, February, March. We tried to get people interested and et cetera. Leadership came out of nowhere, got with the BCA, that's the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, cut a deal with the then NAACP president over there in St. Paul. The investigation was suppressed, if you will. And meanwhile, members of the deceased family, quote unquote, were involved in all kinds of criminal activities in both northern Minnesota. They're black, they're all black. And down around the southwest corner, Marshall, Pipestone, Jackson, Minnesota, and et cetera. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody talks about that. I remember getting a call from a concerned African-American who asked me to investigate, review, and et cetera. We did that, and then these folks, you know, turned around and did nothing, if you will. We're still looking for his brother, Joseph Washington, who of Charlotte, North Carolina, who came here to allegedly see about his brother. He really came here to pick up $1,500. That was the bail that had been put up for George Edward Washington. These are things that you think are important, if you will. I know, and you've just enunciated it, that it's not because there is no probative value on the information, and there's definitely no value as it pertains to the life and liberty of an African-American. That's what it is. Again, phone number. Lines are open, 347-426-3904. We're taking a look at a multiplicity of things, including the quote-unquote so-called impending examination and investigation of the removal. Now it's, you know, it's moved up to the removal. They haven't even finished the trial, which will have to take place in the United States Senate. Not in the House. See, so many of our people, Mr. Allen, in our closed meetings, if you will, we've talked about how sad it is. So many of our people are so uneducated and familiar with what the protocol, what the procedure, what the statute, and the laws and et cetera that are in place. To allow for some, balance constitutionally and et cetera. Man, people don't drunk. All they want to do is, you know, talk about the football and basketball games and going down to Sevens and some of the joints downtown if you don't get shot, if you will. But anyways, what else we got, Don? Go ahead. When you're thinking again on the impeachment, because that's the issue. Like you said, 90% of the news in the paper now is Donald Trump and impeachment.
Yeah, that's 90% of the newspaper. And if you listen and you read anything, you'll understand that this is a long way from even being real. And other than the news, again, I keep saying this to people because, I talk to folks all the time, and it's not even worth my breath trying to get their mind right because they have been, you know, indoctrinated with this. If it's in the newspaper, it's absolutely the law. It's real because they can't tell any stories, but they can certainly.
You know
push
what we
you.
Used to say in the old days, Donald? It's the gossip. If
yeah,
I was one of these
folks,
I wouldn't go to church on Sunday, and try to elaborate that particular point of view. It's mind control. It is in the best tradition of George Orwell's 1984, which was a bestseller many, many, many years ago. I mean, people are just, and they don't like to admit to you how conditioned they are with regards to what is going on. But we touched on a number of items. Like I said, phone line is open. I find it amazing. People will sit in the queue. I assume we have a fairly decent number in the queue, right?
Yes, we do, Mr. Edwards. We absolutely do have a number of people sitting in the queue. And again, that number is 347-426-3904. Phone lines are open. But, Mr. Edwards, when we're talking about subjects of impeachment and this process and how our community does not read between the lines and they have trouble discerning and the inference that's going on, which in the most case, you know, President Trump and Pence are so far away from an impeachment, but the way the media makes it look to happen tomorrow, you can't really challenge them because you feel bad because of the lack of knowledge in reading and seeing
yes.
what's going on. I mean, we have problems in the schools. We have problems in the streets. We have kids going around shooting each other because they have a lack of vocabulary. And so when you look at this news coverage regarding this impeachment and what's happening, you automatically see that there's two or three different stories, different narratives going on, and it's meant to incite the deepest hate that they possibly can. And
the dark side,
it's really
the dark side of America.
The dark side. I mean, especially, I mean, we have something serious happened last week in downtown, or the week before last in downtown Minneapolis, where a 75-year-old white male was getting on the off a bus, and he asked
he was a Muslim. His name was finally released, but many folks thought that he was white. He was a Muslim, 75-year-old man of color, punched out, beaten, if you will, survived for about, but he had serious irreversible brain damage. 75 years old, beaten by young African-Americans who had no reason whatsoever to attack him, to punch him, to quote-unquote, take his life. You're absolutely correct, Mr. Allen. And for anybody that wants to challenge who the man actually is, the story was in yesterday's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And we know how so many of our people will not believe what they hear on this program or from the mouths, quote-unquote, of competent black journalists, but the Star Tribune tells them that that's what it was, then that's what it allegedly is. But he was a Muslim. He was a Muslim. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. Yeah. And, I mean, little things like that we expect, you know, our leadership and the people, you know, that run the city to address is not being addressed. And so you have the light rail situation. I mean, Ms. Edwards, just yesterday, last night, I'm driving down University near Snelling, and I'm seeing a lot of activity on the light rail, and I see there's this white couple walking, and there's three brothers and a sister standing up there trying to block them from walking up on the light rail ramp.
Yes.
And they didn't even go up on. They walked across the street and just talked to each other because you know they're waiting, trying to catch the train. And I'm like, why is this going on? Why is this level of interference in your daily operation going on? You know what? Who's addressing this? I mean, the mayor of Minneapolis and St. Paul are having huge challenges right now. You know, and I'm not talking about bad.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm not talking bad about the mayor of Minneapolis or St. Paul. You know, he's a black man, but there's trouble. He has to answer to handlers also. So how do you focus on a problem?
Make clear people understand what you're saying when you say handlers, because all the politicians have handlers, if you will. By the way, on the mayor of the city of Minneapolis, folks don't want to talk about, there's a group that tried to meet with him. A week ago, this past Thursday, there was supposed to be a meeting at a small private kind of meeting at McDonald's in North Minneapolis, right there on West Broadway, if you will. And for two consecutive nights, the first time was on the previous day on a Wednesday, the mayor of the city of Minneapolis declined to come into the black community and meet with black people, his constituents, his base, the good black folks that did vote, who rushed to the polls to vote for Jacob Fry. And I know they're very unhappy with the Don and Ron program. That's just, I'm like Mulvaney, get used to it. You know what I mean? Because the information is going to continue to flow. But anyways, a small group of African-Americans, but also including the inspector of the 4th Precinct, who's a very decent individual, good man, good commander, and State Senator Bobby Joe Champion, who is now in his second to the third term as a representative, in this case, state senator. And the mayor never showed up, and neither did Councilman Jeremiah Bay Ellison, if you will, Democrat, the fifth ward. He told the black folks up at McDonald's that were waiting on him for a meeting to discuss, get this, the violence, if you will, and et cetera. Oh, I got something on that too. They were waiting there. The commander of the 4th Precinct, avail himself, if you will, the state senator, one of only two black state senators in the Minnesota legislature, was there, took time away from his busy schedule. But I'll tell you what was really important to the mayor. That area, which has become legendary with regards to its violence and et cetera, right there at Lindale and West Broadway in North Minneapolis, Mr. Allen, you know the area. We all do. Be advised, this is for all of the quote-unquote, we love the Democrats and we love the mayor and et cetera. The mayor, who would not meet with African-Americans, some of them are listening in right now, and I know that for a fact, and you see some of it on our technical operations system that we have, is that the mayor met with the owners of Merlin's Liquor Store, which is also right there on the corner of Lindale and West Broadway. And he met with them to hear their concerns about the activities outside of Merlin's Drug. Now, this is the same drugstore / liquor store that sells all of that, quote-unquote, and et cetera, and also looks the other way when drug transactions take place up and down Lindale, as far up as 24th, 25th now, as far west where KMOJ is at, and as far east as the freeway and et cetera. The mayor, you know, went and met with his, quote-unquote, his base, white folks, Jews, if you will, wink, wink, and told them that he would get a handle on this. Now, this is the same area where black gunmen threatened two high-ranking Minneapolis police officers about a month and a half ago, who confronted them about the fact that they were selling narcotics and deadly drugs and such. And by the way, we don't even, well, yeah, we do professionally, but we don't even keep a tally on the number of deaths and overdoses and et cetera. So the mayor has met with the owners of the liquor store there, again, we repeat it, on Lindale and West Broadway, and told them that he would make sure that there is appropriate protection. And I guess the pro quo was to get a donation for the mayor's reelection fund. So public has the right to know that, particularly you black folks that were trying to meet with him at McDonald's a week ago. Be advised that he didn't have time for you. The councilman Ellison didn't have time for you, as he told him that he could talk to him in a conference call. This was an hour and a half after the meeting was supposed to begin at the McDonald's in North Minneapolis, because he was meeting with white constituents from the Bryn Mawr area, which is a lower part of the Fifth Ward and in a predominantly white neighborhood. Okay? Just kind of
okay.
People, right?
Yeah, Mr. Andrews, our producer tells we have a call from the Midwest. It looks like it could be Steve. You're live on the air at the Ron and Don Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Great. How are you,
sir?
Yeah. This is a small story, I guess, but I understand that there's a lawsuit from Diamond Reynolds, the girlfriend of Flandreau to Steel, a defamation lawsuit directed toward a former deputy or mayor or something of a small town outside of Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering what your thoughts on that was.
Allen has that, Steve. Stay with us because this is news and information that should be known. But go ahead, Mr. Allen. You have it right there in front of you on your computer.
I've been following that because a mutual friend of Ms. Diamond is the show's friend, and the young lady was sending me this information and some personal comments from Philando's girlfriend there. There was a deputy who's now serving as mayor who says she needs to get – the tweet was she needs to come off county and state aid now that she has some cash. It'll be gone in 6 months on crack cocaine is what Tom McBroom tweeted out there Reynolds, you know, she received $800,000 in that the Cafields shooting from the
$400,000 was set aside for her beautiful daughter, bright young lady.
Yeah.
That money cannot be touched until the child turns 18. Yes, go ahead. And we'll try to update Steve and that he, you know, confronted us with the information. Go ahead, Ms. Bell.
Yeah, she's seeking $50,000 in damages for Mick Broom's tweet, who is now the Eliason, if I pronounce, city mayor, lists Mick Broom as the mayor. He was a city council member when he sent the tweet, and it's a lot of false assumptions. And this guy, I mean, there's a little story tucked away in the Star and Tribune, but he tweeted out that that Ms. Reynolds will, Diamond Reynolds, will be broken 6 months after she spends it all on crack cocaine.
Wow.
And she's not
wow.
taking light to this at all, and she is actually going after this guy. I mean, but if you look at the comments in the Star and Tribune and some other blogs and things in the Twin Cities, when the money was distributed, I mean, you had plenty of comments about, oh, yeah, they'll be broken 3 months, 4 months, a year, because they're going to do drugs and party and be at the nightclub and this and
now,
that.
You say
and
that
this
individual is the mayor now. What's the name of the town?
Eliason. Minnesota, it says here. Eliason. Let me see exactly, Mr. Edwards. Let me pull it up on the screen where this city is so we can give you the geographical perspective. Just give me a second here. Let me just get it up on the screen. Because that's the first time, to tell you the truth, I've heard of that city. I heard of Eli, but Minnesota. Okay. It's a city in Le Sueur and Waseca counties. And the population is... In 2010, the population was 652 people.
That would you know, meet the expectation. Let me just say this to you, Steve, there in the Midwest. Miss Diamond won a case over a year ago. People were saying the same thing after an altercation on the east side of the city of St. Paul, our sister city. Her attorney, I don't know who her attorney of record now is. It should be in the article, but they don't have enough space for anything other than Donald Trump. The attorney that she had, won the assault case against her for an altercation that happened. People indicate that she's trying to do the best that she can. She's certainly taking care of her young daughter. I repeat again, by the way, the $800,000, $400,000 of that was set aside by a district court here in the state of Minnesota, Steve. $400,000, that is being put in trust for the daughter, and cannot be touched until the daughter turns 18 years of age, which I think was just great. I worked on a couple of cases, particularly the Tysel Nelson case, which people no longer really remember here. But that family received, at the time of the death of Tysel Nelson, who was gunned down by police here in North Minneapolis, almost 30 years ago, the award was close to $1 million, if you will. We appreciate you raising that question. And the town that is being talked about is in a very red area, if you know what I'm saying there, Steve.
Yeah.
Very conservative, if you will, but down around Le Sueur, Minnesota, if you will. But these kinds of statements are made all the time. The attorney, by the way, for Ms. Diamond, and I think maybe this case also, is a Michael Patton. Michael Patton, spelled with two D's. Michael Patton has been the attorney for her, for Ms. Diamond, if you will. We may be able to try to track him down over the next couple of weeks to see if we can get him to come on to talk about it. But see, leadership here came that it's too small and too irrelevant.
Also, I had one other question, and it's about your mayor. Is he afraid of the black community or something, or black people? The reason I'm asking that is I notice he does a lot of like celebrity, it seems like, stuff. He was in this magazine called Elle, I think it is. Uh-huh. And they had him, I think the headline was Minneapolis mayor is hot. So I guess he's now a sex symbol or something. And then there was a picture of him on I guess he went to the...
Oh, and he has a lovely young blonde wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he is a sex symbol. In fact, he has done something with his appearance where he now, he has a nice head of hair and that kind of thing. And he has a piece of his hair that, you know, kind of comes down and, you know, is curled, if you will, you know what I mean? On his forehead. Mm-hmm. But to your question, Steve, you're still with us there, hopefully.
Yes.
He is a sex symbol, if you will. I think that's the mistake. I'm told that, we have an obligation to report this also, Mr. Allen. We have about 5 or 6 minutes left. He made big pronouncements here a number of months ago about appointing a committee for public safety, if you will. They had, I don't think, 14 people or something like that. The folks were running around fighting to get on the committee and et cetera. Do you know, as we speak, that 14-person committee has 8 vacancies and that when they meet, though, the mayor spends an inordinate amount of time kind of, you know, flirting and winking at the women, you know, irrespective of coloring, if you will. So, yes, he is considered to be, you know, dab and debonair and all of that, if you will. But to your specific question, there is reason to believe, particularly after what he did a week ago, and declining to attend a Lutheran church, too. We're talking about one of these black Baptist churches. This was a big white Lutheran church in North Minneapolis right there at 46th and 47th and Colfax. Church has been there for 100 years, powerful within the Missouri Senate of the Lutheran Church and et cetera. He declined to show up there, and the following night at McDonald's, if you will, where there was to be a private meeting to talk about the violence and et cetera, he refused to show up. In fact, I don't even think he told the black folks there that he was not going to show up. And in that particular case, the councilman for that particular ward, 5th Ward in North Minneapolis, told the same black folks that he asked to vote for him that he didn't have time, but that what he could do is call in, do a telephone call in, and I guess what they did do is they told him to kiss their behinds. They didn't use the word behind. They used the A word. But, you know, we're trying to be decent, good black Christians. But we hope that answers the question, Steve.
Yes.
But the diamond thing, you kind of, kind of caught people off guard on that, but I think her attorney is Mike Patton. Yes, sir.
Patton.
But I'll do some checking,
right,
and if you get a chance, call in next week and ask us for verification. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, you, sir.
Right.
You're right, Mr. Allen. That story, was that buried in this morning's edition of the paper or what? On time.
Like last night. It was last night late, and I read it. I was going to get to it, but yeah, it's very interesting, you know, how this stuff, these folks just basically, you know, say what they want to with their historical, this happens in every, I mean, I guess the correct term for it would be institutionalized racism, and you have groups in education, you have groups in law enforcement, you have groups in the private sector that figure that this is the way it is because that's the way it was. You know, that's what they've been told. That's what they understand has been the gospel or the truth. That, and a lot of this, I'm reading one comment here, and then I'm going to paraphrase it because it's really long. But some gentleman is explaining about the Native Americans on the reservation that where the casinos are, they get a lot of money, and how they're broke after the 15th month. And I'm just saying, like, wow, you know.
Wow.
That's very interesting.
Well, let me just say this on that, because that is so far. So obviously this person has never gone down to Mystic Lake, which is the Mittewan reservation and one of the most successful and profitable. And boy, have they done a lot for the white folks, the good white folks down around Prior Lake, Minnesota. You know, if people can call that up, the Minnewaukan tribe, a very small tribe. So you're not talking about 2,000 or 3,000 Indians, quote unquote, Native Americans, but they have done a wonderful job. In fact, they just got through building a big addition onto the big hotel they have there. So to make the statement about they're broke, and by the way, they each year provide a honorarium, if you will, or a grant to the members of the tribe. I think now they have maybe 200 members of the tribe, and they average, Mr. Allen, about $220,000 per individual. In fact, we have talked about in private conversations that we know some members of the Minnewaukan tribe right here in the Twin Cities, who are recipients and have been recipients each and every year for the last 10 or 11 years. That's really kind of foul to do that, but that's the kind of what you were saying earlier in this morning's program. That's kind of what and how, quote unquote, we are basically beat down. And we have less and less ability, unfortunately, to be able to scrap back. Now, I've got to tell you, you want to go down there to Mystic Lake and you want to see an excellent quality of life, look at some of those homes that have been built by members of the Minnewaukan tribe who have exclusive rights on the land, as they should. It's their land, their reservation, and et cetera. It shouldn't be necessary for me to defend, but that's what a historian does, if you will. And so whoever the person was that made those comments about by the 15th, they're broken, et cetera. No matter how irresponsible you're targeted, it's pretty hard to go through $220,000.
Yeah. I would have to agree with you.
I commend, as an African American with Native blood, if you will, I praise the Minnewaukan tribe and other Native American tribes here in Minnesota, Red Lake, Fond du Lac, and et cetera, for their success and what it is they do and how they do it, sir. I just think that we need to say that. And maybe we'll spend some time taking a look at a lot of the white failures in America. Uh-oh. By the way, people are talking about reparations, Mr. Allen. I know we're running out of time. Do you think we could talk a little bit about that next week? Because I keep hearing folks talk about reparations as if it's something new.
Yeah, while we have 90 seconds left here with the show, Mr. Edwards, we will set that up and we'll try to get some a couple of people on that locally that consider themselves experts. And we'll see what they have to say.
Absolutely. And Mr. Barry and some others are doing that, and this is something we'll try to do and do it, of course, with the specificity and the detail that is, quote-unquote, the reputation of this program. But, again, let brother, the late, great James Brown bring us home, Mr. Allen.
Thanks for listening.